Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. Today I have Sean Casey on the podcast and he's famous for his simple and tasty recipes, his no BS fat loss videos and purely authentic content. As of recording, he has 2.3 million followers on TikTok, 800,000 on Instagram, and he has recipe books. He has an online fitness program, the Sean Casey Academy, but also the Social Circle, which is all about how to grow your social media. And his methods work. I actually did the course last year and I did one video using his blueprint and it went viral. And this is somebody who didn't get famous for doing anything dramatic, but just for showing up consistently, understanding the algorithms and genuinely wanting to help people. So I hope you can learn a lot from this episode. And once again, this episode is sponsored by Whoop. So I'm sure you know by now that Whoop is a wearable fitness tracker that specializes in breaking down your recovery, sleep and workouts while also helping you manage your overall health and well-being. It's also worth talking about what Whoop doesn't do. And it's not going to ding on your wrist when you get a text. It's not going to call you an Uber. Doesn't tell the time. But what it does do is track every heartbeat throughout your day and break down all your data for you so you can understand everything you need to know about your body. Whoop has recently added in a new stress monitor that uses your resting heart rate and heart rate variability to give a stress score throughout your day. I found this really interesting for monitoring my nights too, because I can actually see when I've had those stressful dreams. They've collaborated with Dr. Andrew Huberman to bring guided sessions to increase relaxation or increase alertness depending on what you need. If you would like to start tracking your health, wellness and fitness at a deeper level today, go to join.whoop.com/Siobhan to get your first month free and a free Whoop 4.0. That's join.whoop.com/Siobhan and I'll have a link in the show notes. Thanks in advance to anyone who supports the sponsors of the show and I hope you enjoy this episode. So welcome, Sean, all the way from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
I was trying to figure out, you know, the way I like to do a little intro and I'm trying to figure out where exactly you're from. Is it Banbridge?
Yeah, Banbridge. Have you heard of it?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And do you know how I figured that out? I was like zooming in on all your different jerseys and trying to figure out exactly where you were from. And I saw one said Banbridge, but I feel like the lads up the north wear jerseys from all over the place. And
oh, it's just like I don't even follow GA. I just wear whatever jersey's going like.
Oh, it's like, you know, oh, what day of the week? New jersey for today. How are you enjoying Sydney?
Yeah, I'm loving it. So I've been in Australia for just over 2 months now. I've done the first month in Melbourne, the second month in Sydney, and I'm doing the third month in Sydney here too. The lifestyle's class. It's just like you're up at like 6 a.m, you're out for a walk and everyone else is up too. There's so much going on. And for the first time in my life, I've been falling asleep at like 9:30, 10:30. That's like completely alien to me. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? Falling asleep really early. Falling asleep early, waking up early. But it's a cool lifestyle. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I liked it there for the early mornings, because I naturally sleep like that. I've always been like bed at 9 o'clock, up at 6. And, you know, I love that you go out and like there's so much life going on. And like that's something you struggle with coming back to Ireland, because obviously even the darker mornings, like there's not that many people. But I think, you know, I think it is kind of filtering home, even like looking at Caroline from a county down under, you know, like she's trying to bring that lifestyle to Ireland a bit and like doing the early morning swims and the, you know, meeting up with people to do stuff in the morning, you know, like it's definitely a change in the, I suppose, the typical lifestyle at home. And actually something I was going to talk about later, but you've gone sober.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How have you found it?
Yeah, it's been really good, but like, I feel like people often glamorize going sober. It's not like you go sober and suddenly your life's perfect. All your problems go away and you're this new amazing person. It's like, I'm really enjoying not having hangovers. I'm really enjoying not having this mad anxiety. What the fuck did I say to these people, etc. I'm enjoying not blacking out. Sometimes it can be tricky. You need to pick your nights out wisely. Like if I was all like, oh, I'm going to go on nights out. Like everyone says, go on nights out without drink. It's just the same. Like when you're at Tiesto or something and everyone's clean wired to the moon and you're sober, you're like, nah, this is not the one. But I feel like if you can pick your nights out that you would like, things that you would actually enjoy sober, that you don't need drink to be there to enjoy it, you can still have a great time, but just be selective with them. But overall, I'm enjoying it. I'm about 3 months in roughly. Last time I had a drink was just the end of December. So I'm going well so far. I'm going to do the 12 months and then see where I go from there. But for me, alcohol was especially the past 2 years, I've not been drinking as much, but when I have been drinking, I've just been getting really fucked up, like just blacking out and not remembering anything. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this. So I was like, I want to do 12 months off it. I'll see where I go from there. And I want to actually do the 12 months to make sure I can do it. Like, I don't want to be reliant on alcohol. I still want to be able to travel, do things, meet people without that. So do the 12 months, prove to myself that I can do it. And then I'm not setting any rules or like, this is, I have to stay off it for the rest of my life. It's like 12 months and we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, even 12 months is extreme. Or like, not extreme, but you know, like some people say, like they'll do a month and then see. But you're committing to 12. Are you giving yourself any leeway if you do decide to change your mind?
No leeway, because I've made reels about it. I've made content that have said that I'm doing it. Oftentimes when people only do 1 month, the next month they end up just drinking more to make up for it. So I feel like the 12 months is a good challenging number. And it's like, if you do the 12 months, that's an achievement. I think anyone can do like a month or two, no issue, but 12 months is a proper challenge.
I'm a couple of months off it myself, but I didn't think I'd make it this far. But it's different when you have a different why. I think I was quite like bored, you know, it's all like, say, like it wasn't getting in the way of my life. And that's why I thought it was always kind of okay. Like, say I wouldn't drink during the week because I'd get up. I wanted to get up every morning and do my jiu-jitsu. I wanted, you know, like I might have a glass if I go out for dinner, but I really used to keep it to the weekend, like on a Saturday. But even that, it does drip into your week. And but to the point where I think I was just kind of coasting along for a while. Mm-hmm. And even last October, I decided to do like sober-ish October, where I was not going to just have a drink when I'm out for the sake of it. I was like, I only have a drink if I really, really want it. And it actually worked. I was so I didn't basically cut out drinking a lot, but I was so much more productive and I was raging. I was like, oh God, it really does make you do, like, even just things like writing my emails or just getting up on a Sunday and cleaning the apartment, which I just would not do if I was out on a Saturday night. So it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, I still think I love a drink. Like, I love a margarita. I love a glass of wine with my steak, but I don't miss being drunk at all. Mm-hmm. And those nights out, I think, you know, you were saying there's some nights you have to pick and choose. And I think if there's nights that you really need to drink, it's like, maybe they're not great nights.
Maybe you don't
need to be there.
Yeah. And a lot of people, they're just drinking because they're not actually enjoying themselves. And then they find themselves, oh, I'm just going to drink so I do enjoy it. And then they're waking up with a really bad hangover. And lots of people are just caught in this loop of drinking and then being hungover and then like feeling a bit shit for the next few days.
The rollover.
And then drinking again. And it's just like a constant loop. I attribute most of my success to actually cutting down and drinking. Like, I was forced to go off alcohol, obviously, with lockdown and things like that. I didn't have my friends and stuff to drink with. I wasn't going to drink in the house. That's when I really got in the grind, started posting on socials and things like that. But when you're drinking every weekend, whether you like it or not, that's what you're doing. You're not doing anything else because your day is planned around the drink. Oh, I need to go get an outfit. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to, like, whatever you're doing. And then you're hungover. So your day is based around getting food. And then the next day you're just back into it. Whereas you're actually freeing up multiple days of your life by not drinking to do other things and to be a lot more productive. And again, and I really like to give the caveat on podcasts. Some people work a normal job, they have a drink at the weekend, that's what they want to do. They're not trying, like, there's nothing wrong with their alcohol consumption. So I hate when people go on and lecture others just because they're off the drink. Oh, I'm going to lecture everyone. Everyone should be off the drink too. Some people have a few pints at the weekend. Some people have a glass of wine at the weekend. It's a social thing. It's a nice thing. They've worked hard all week. There's nothing wrong with it. But for me personally and what I want to do, it wasn't for me. But that it's good to, when you're listening to this, being like, oh, is he lecturing and saying everyone? No, I'm not saying that at all. I run my online academy, and I'm not going to tell a lot of the parents that have had busy weeks, you can't have your glass of wine the weekend. It's just, that wouldn't be fair. So don't listen to this and think that I'm talking about my personal experiences, the reasons why I have cut down on alcohol or cut it out completely for the next year anyway. But don't think it's me saying everyone should do it, because it's not the same for everyone.
Yeah, for me, it was always like, I would do periods of not drinking when I wanted to like improve my business, or if I had a training target or something like that. It was always like, if it was getting in the way. But if I'm at a point where business is going well, I'm enjoying my training, you know, I'm never going to be a top athlete where I'm going to cut it out. So like, if it's negatively affecting your life, then maybe that's when you have a look at it. And only if you want to, we're not telling you to.
If the cons outweigh the pros, so that's what I always say, is there more cons than pros with your alcohol consumption? If there is, then it's maybe worth weighing it up. Could I try a period of not drinking, cutting down? But If for some people, the pros are outweighing the cons. You go out with your friends, it's a social thing, you enjoy doing it, you're not waking up absolutely dying. If you have fitness goals, you're still able to achieve them, but it's just weighing up how it affects your life personally, and it's different for everyone. Some people will go out and just have a couple of drinks. See, when I go out, I'm quite bad, and I would have a bad relationship with alcohol. When I have one drink in my hand, I'm just thinking about getting the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and it's
the opposite. I actually just really enjoy a drink. You know, like I wouldn't do shots or anything. I'm like, I actually just love like enjoying a drink. And of course, if I have a shot, I mean, I could actually have a nice slow drink.
Yeah,
you know, that's my.
I just drink everything, shots, anything, just give it to me.
Well, I mean, we're new people now, but anyway, yeah. That's actually, you know, and that's just, I didn't want to even focus on health, nutrition, fitness on this podcast. I wanted to bring you on because, I mean, as of recording, you have 2.3 million followers on TikTok, unless it changed overnight, which I wouldn't be surprised, and 800,000 on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I have seen that shoot up at the same time where probably I'm guilty of saying, and other people are saying, that like Instagram is dead, and you know that it's, there's no point in even trying to grow now. And like, that would be the advice I'd give, because I think an early adopter to Instagram. I was like the one lifting weights in 2015 when no women were really doing it. I was just early to Instagram. I was using all the hashtags and blah blah blah. But I've definitely fallen behind now, and I've kind of like, I'm blaming the system when you seem to have cracked the system. So
yeah,
what wisdom can you share to somebody who's like trying to do the same?
Instagram definitely isn't dead. It's been reborn. It's been reborn in a different way. See, when back maybe 5-6 years ago, when you posted on Instagram, every single post that you put out there was mostly going to your friends and family. The way that you built a following was if people shared your post, or if your post done well on hashtags. But see now with Reels, everything is like a copycat of TikTok, all the short form content. And the main purpose of this content is to go to an audience that isn't already following you, without having to do hashtags, without having to get shared. So there's this massive chance for virality if you can adapt to a short form content style. This doesn't mean only post Reels, only post TikToks. It means on top of what you're already posting, you need to adapt to what's working well and what's being pushed out. This has never happened before. In the past, since I've got to Australia, I've gained 300,000 followers. In 1 week, I gained 800,000 followers on TikTok once. Like, it just, there's never been an opportunity like this before. And a lot of people will be like, oh, Instagram's dead, TikTok's stupid, it's for children. At the end of the day, people are taking advantage of it and completely changing their life. Like, see, just off building my social media following, I now have 4 different businesses. I've got 3 million followers across my platforms. I can work from anywhere in the world. I've basically built a life that works exactly for me. And it's because I took advantage of social media. So people often complain, oh, it shouldn't be like this, it shouldn't be short form content, life's not fair, why is this like TikTok stupid? It's like, instead of complaining about things, figure out what's working, why it's working, and then get on it. And that's what I've done. And I've not only done it for myself, but I've started the social circle, and I've replicated the results time and time again. On a weekly basis, I'm posting a new testimonial, someone hitting 100K, 500K. People have hit 1 million followers in 6 months from scratch within the social circle. So what's happening now on social media has never happened before. It just simply hasn't happened.
It see, actually reminds me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm terrible for cutting across. But like, I'm like, back in my day, that really does remind me of when Instagram was trying to copy Snapchat. Mm-hmm. So when they started bringing the stories to Instagram, I mean, again, probably before your time when Instagram didn't have stories, they started copying Snapchat. Because I used to chat all the time on Snapchat. I had loads of followers on Snapchat, and there was like loads of people in Dublin who were like Snapchat famous, and then Instagram started doing it, and everyone was giving out about it, and everyone was like, no, it's not going to work, blah, blah. And I just was like, I'm just going to post everything I post on Snapchat on Instagram as well, on my stories. And the stories, definitely, like, even still, I still have a lot of people who are very invested in like my day-to-day life, you know, even if it's not, you know, my content in terms of like the videos and pictures are not as great, but I still have people invested, because I still think I didn't listen to the people who were saying, oh, you know, Instagram are just trying to copy Snapchat, it's not going to work. I do think you have to kind of just go with what is coming up.
Yeah, there's always going to be people stuck in their ways too, because things have worked for them. It's always been a certain way, and they're afraid to adapt to change. Whereas the reason why I've had so much success on social media and been able to build the social circle, which literally, like, it's a complete monopoly. If anyone wants social media advice in the UK or Ireland, they're going to join the social circle. They're not going to go elsewhere, because the results aren't the same. And people might be like, oh, why would I not go to someone more experienced? But oftentimes the more experienced people are using outdated techniques, and it's just, they're not with the program. Whereas when I was very lucky. See, when I first started posting on socials, it was when TikTok was blowing up. That's when I first started. It was during lockdown. So that's the only thing I ever knew. So I didn't know about any of this, these old tactics. So all I know is what's currently being pushed and what's currently working. And in the next 2 years, it might completely change again. It's always changing, but you need to be willing to adapt to it and go with what's working. But social media, the opportunities on it within all industries, it's not just for personal trainers. Like, I've got tailors in the social circle. I've got hairdressers, beauticians, artists blowing up. It's crazy.
Yeah, I joined the social circle I don't know if it was when you first launched last year. Mm-hmm. And I just saw what you were doing and I was like, I need to learn. And I created, I think, just one video based off your blueprint. And I remember it's when I got an air fryer and I was in Portugal. It must have been last May. And I made a video and it blew up. Like, I just stuck to the exact blueprint you gave me and I was like, God, he was right. And then I only blame my own laziness after that for like not actually sticking with the blueprint and creating, you know, whatever life gets in the way. But I would definitely tell anyone who wants to learn the algorithm is just join the social circle, because you've got the proof there. Like, I was even looking at the Instagram last night, and as you said, the numbers. So my main question is, where did you learn this? Like, where are you going for these ideas? How do you figure it out?
So I'm quite obsessed with needing to know why things work. A lot of people will blow up on social media and they build a platform because they're good on camera, they like to talk, etc. Whereas, see, when a video done well for me, I wasn't like, oh, happy as the video done well. I was like, why did that do well? And see, by posting literally every day, multiple times a day for years, right, what do all these videos have in common? And then I started to formulate this blueprint. Oh, if I do this at the start, it works well. If I do this in the middle, if I say this, if I say it in a particular way. And it's not like, the social circle is so much more than just giving you generic shit tips. Like, everyone knows you need a hook at the start of your video, but the social circle goes into the nuance. What actually makes a good hook? Saying, here's 3 fat loss tips. By the way, number 3 is my favorite. It's like, fucking hell, that's like the worst hook ever. It's so obvious.
You see the same thing a lot.
Mm-hmm. So the social circle is about the nuance of being able to adapt so many different social media strategies into your content and apply a blueprint. But if someone's watching it, they don't know that you're using any strategy at all. So what I've done with the social circle is analyze my own content repeatedly. This is something that I've said in podcasts before. I consume other people's content, like their social media advice and things like that. But the reason that I created the social circle is because I found myself listening to podcasts and just straight up disagreeing with people. I'm like, no, that's definitely not the way to go about it. So I formulated my own, and then I started taking on clients on a one-on-one basis, applying the same blueprint, getting results for them. And then I launched the social circle and done it on a mass level with hundreds of people with this blueprint. And then after they'd applied it for sort of 4 or 5 months, I looked at all the common mistakes and how we could improve it. And then recently put into the course the blueprint 2.0. So it's like an obsessive nature with needing to know why things work. And like, because I just can't post something and it does well and be like, oh, that just was a coincidence. It needs to be structured and I need to know why, but most people just don't care enough. Whereas this is actually like a passion of mine. Like, I'm like, fuck, this is really cool. And I'm lucky that I enjoy every stage of the content creation process. I enjoy recording the content, I enjoy editing it, I enjoy putting it together, I enjoy recording this podcast right now. It's like, I genuinely love this, and most other people just don't have that. For most people, it's like, oh, this is such a chore, I have to make content today. Whereas I'm like, fuck, I'm buzzing. Oh, why did this do well? Why did it not do well? Let's analyze this. Let's think about it logically. So the whole thing, just the cogs are turning in my head constantly, and I'm like, I can teach other people how to do this. And I have done that very successfully. The next stage for me now will be teaching businesses how to do it, and this is how we just continue to scale and grow. But it's exciting, it's very exciting.
I know, it's so inspiring. Like, how old are you?
22.
Madness. Like, these, all these successful businesses, like, and but as you said, it's that pure passion of, you know, iterating, learning, improving. And it's so funny because I'm just listening to it going, that's what I should have done, you know. Like, I did get complacent, and yeah, straight away I'm like, right, blueprint 2.0, I need to start learning. Because I like that. I love making videos. I love editing them. I love posting them. Love seeing them doing well. But it's what I struggle with now. And I think it's probably fatigue from doing this for so long, is generating ideas. You know, like, I feel like I'm blue in the face saying the same thing. But I think what TikTok allows is that you can say the same thing in loads of different ways. And then, but only one video will do well. Or, you know, with the idea of that, it's okay to post the same thing again and again, because not all the videos are shown to everyone.
You're not trying to reinvent the wheel as well. Oftentimes with people with social media content, I can't talk about that because this person talked about it. Go look at my fitness content. I'm not talking about anything different than anyone else, but what I'm doing is talking about it in my own way. I'm putting my personality into it. I made a video the other day showing me putting fucking yogurt and banana in a bowl, and it got like 500,000 views. It's not about the yogurt and banana. It's about how can I add my personality to this while I'm talking about why I eat this for breakfast and why simple meal ideas are probably the best thing for you, et cetera, et cetera. Whereas someone might watch that and be like, how the fuck do you get 500,000 views? It's just yogurt and banana. But it's not about what you're talking about. It's about how you're talking about it. So with social media as well, see just informational content on its own. It's no good without personality. You need the blend of information and personality. And that's different for everyone. For me, I have quite like, I didn't realize this, but people find my videos funny quite a lot. Like, I just say things normally that I would say and then just leave them in. And people are like, I don't know what parts of my videos people are going to find funny, honestly. But people are like, oh my God, you said this. It's hilarious. I'm like, right, okay, that's fine. Because my personality is quite dry. I just say things as they are and leave that in the content. But for other people, it might be something else. But the most important thing is, how do you talk to your friends? How do you talk to your family? And how can you merge that with the content that you're creating? And it needs to be good information as well. Like, I'm not saying any information merged with personality. It needs to be proper, good information. You need to know your stuff and then apply that with your personality.
Yeah, authenticity, I always, is like the, for me, even in day-to-day life, if people are inauthentic, I can't deal with it. So even if I see, you know, like you can see people following maybe other people's blueprints and they're just literally copying, saying the same thing as other people. I even see it myself because I honestly never looked at someone else's content and go, oh, that's a good idea, I'm going to do that. It's always been just ideas I've had, I've written it out and I've said it. And I've seen people copy mine and I actually... like, first, kind of flattered, but also like, I can't believe people do that. But also, then I'm like, but you're not, I don't think it does as well because you're not being yourself. You're literally just saying what I said. And I do think people like you, for your personality, like, you're dry, it's witty, even when you don't mean to be, you know, you're not going out there going, okay, how can I be a clown? How can I entertain? You're just like being yourself. And like, you know, I watched you doing the video the other day when you're like cooking and hurting yourself. And, you know, even if you meant to, you didn't. But like, do you learn then what people like to see? Like, do you find yourself then being a little bit like, okay, I know they like when I say these things. Like, yeah, are you being smart about it as well? Mm-hmm. Like, without sounding like it's being, I don't know, planning it. But, you know, like, are you starting to go like, okay, people like to hear this, I'm going to say this.
You're looking at the logistics. Every single video I'm analyzing, like, I'll spend the first hour, usually, as long as I have time, after upload, replying to every single comment, just because it's a nice thing to do, because people are taking the time to comment. It builds a nice community. But obviously, I'm reading the comments too to reply to them. And I pick up, oh, people like when I do this. People like when I said that. I could probably have an idea roughly in my head if I say something like that. Or even if it's something naturally that comes out while I'm making the video, I'll be like, oh, I'll actually leave that in because people tend to like that. So you do pick up on, right, when I first started making content, I wouldn't have included so much of this dry humor and these things that naturally occur. I maybe would have edited them out, but now I'm like, oh, people actually like that, because what I feel people are crying out for is realism. Like, a lot of people, when they're creating content, oh, it needs to be so perfect. If I burn myself, now I'll leave it in the video because I know that people will genuinely enjoy that. If it, like, before I would have been stressing, like, I say things to take the stress out of them. Before, like, I was like, oh, I need to be perfectionist with the recipes. I'm not a chef. I'm not far from it. And it literally, in my recipe books, the first page says, I'm not a chef. Whereas there might be a stage where I was like, oh, fuck, what order did I put the onions and the peppers? And there's someone going to comment and say they're cooked in the wrong order. So now if I'm throwing them all in the pan, I'll be like, I just threw them all in there. They're probably going to cook in different orders, but I don't care. That's the way I do it. And people like that. So they're crying out for this realism. So when you're doing different things, I just point them out. And that's the way I go about it. But it's just constantly posting content. And like I say this in every podcast, I'm obsessed with the analytics, figuring out why things work, figuring out what people like, and then being able to lean that and lean into that and create more content like that. And it's fun to me. It's a bit of a game, but it's very enjoyable.
Yeah, I think I started watching your videos, and I find myself doing this. I watch so many recipe videos and makeup videos, and I literally never cook. Over the last couple of years, I've hardly cooked at all. I've got my air fryer now, and I'm like, okay, and I need to go back and like all these videos I've been liking over the years, like actually put it into practice. But actually, once I asked you there, you're obviously reading all these questions or reading all the comments, and I see you get the most, I think TikTok is worse for this, the craziest criticisms and trolls. But I feel like TikTok can be a bit, it's almost like you can step away from it because it's actors so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But have you found, maybe obviously the success you've built, I imagine you're getting criticism and trolling from, you know, that from people you know or people that know you, and like that can hurt a little bit more. Like, have you noticed that at all?
Yeah, not really directly from anyone I know, but you're always going to get criticism. It's more so about how you process it. So what I always said, does this person have a point? If the person doesn't have a point, what's the point in stressing about it? A lot of people will stress out all the time, but if the person doesn't have a point, it's fine. Sometimes people do have a point. Some people will be like, oh, you burnt your chicken there. I was like, that's fine. But it is as simple as if the person doesn't have a point, man, forget about it.
It's even like with the podcast, people are like, you keep talking over your guests. I'm like, oh, I know you're right. Like, I don't take that as trolling. I'm like, yeah, you're right. And I have to try and stop doing that. But talk to me about, so you've got all these businesses. You've obviously got the Sean Casey Academy. It's the Fitness Academy. Do you call it the Fitness Academy or the Sean Casey Academy? Academy. And yeah, that's for health, fitness goals.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you have the Social Circle, which is for building social media. Is that correct in saying?
Yeah, building social media.
And what else have you got going on?
I've got the recipe book business and then a bit of one-on-one mentorship.
And like, so how did you take this from, okay, I've got a lot of followers, let's monetize it?
It was just a natural occurrence. Like at the start, I went through a period of posting but not actually making money and not wanting to make money. I done like 7-8 months as I'm just going to provide as much free value as possible. And then naturally, when you provide free value, people want to be coached by you. So I started coaching people. I was doing a bit of in-person coaching. And then the audience was building so large that I would done in-person, moved to online. And then I was like, right, I'll launch the academy. And I was posting recipes. I was like, right, I'll launch the ebooks. And then I was like, right, I'm really good at social media. Let's help people do this on a one-on-one basis. Oh, this is working for all these people. Maybe I could do this as like a group thing. So then I launched the Social Circle. So it's just always the natural occurrence from what I'm doing and what I'm passionate about. Everything starts about posting things that I'm passionate about. And even the recipes, I'm not a chef, but I'm passionate about making super simple stuff for people that don't know how to cook and showing them that you can make these simple meals that actually taste good. That everything just evolves from problems I once had myself solving the problem and then helping other people solve these problems.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that. Like, even all my content is like, look, I used to have disordered eating habits and struggled with it and dieted my whole life, and like I'm like just trying to help people be less stressed about it, which is what, you know, I think very similar attitudes to health and fitness and you know, about enjoying your life and also just making it easy. Like, it doesn't have to be complicated or restrictive, and it can be tasty. Definitely looking at your videos, you know, you can eat well. You actually talked about just making the ebooks, scaling your business. Where did you learn to do this? You know, like, if someone has, like, because you see a lot of people with millions of followers and they don't have the knowledge to actually convert it. Did you teach yourself? Did you get like mentored, or where did it come from?
Yeah. So when I first started PT and I looked at who was the most successful online PT in the area, it was Tony McAlevey. So I started getting PT'd by him, online coached by him. And then he helped me with business and stuff. So he helped me with my coaching business at the start. I'd already started, but he helped me refine the systems, taught me a bit about sales. But then in terms of like the ebooks and the Social Circle, I wasn't specifically mentored for that. I was mentored for my coaching business. But I think a lot of the time you just have something. Like, a lot of people just have it. And for me, and I can say this confidently, I just have it in terms of like being able to monetize absolutely everything that I do, but doing it in a way that's always by my morals and my ethics. I'm not using any sleazy tactics, or I'm not doing any bullshit. It's just like providing genuine information and then being like, right, how could I monetize this in a logical way? And I always look for gaps. I always look for openings. I could do this. There's a gap in the market. People would buy this. I do my market research, right? Let's figure out if my audience would buy this. And then I launch it. I go, I don't think too much. I think just enough. And then I go, whereas I think for a lot of people, it's paralysis by analysis. I need this, I need that. Whereas for me, I'm just like, right, I'm just going to do it. And I do just do it. And I figure it out on the way.
Yeah. I know how much effort even goes into making a single video, by the time you edit, even captions, like everything, like the time you must be working hard. Or
yeah.
The other question is like, what help do you have? Are you recruiting people now? Do you have a bit of a system going on? Like, I presume it's not a one-man show at the moment anymore.
So my only member of staff at the minute is my sister. So my sister's amazing. She does a lot of my, so she, my sister does anything that looks nice. My sister has done that. So in terms of the ebooks, the social circle presentations, like I see all the social circle presentations, I will have done them in a PowerPoint and they'll just have like words on them. And then she'll go and add the graphics and make it look nice. So she does all the graphics work. She helps me a lot with the academy, a bit of admin stuff. But apart from that, I don't have any staff. I definitely could have staff. I definitely could find that. But for me, in order to scale my business, like I can scale it quite far without the need for staff. And I feel like when you bring staff in, especially if it's not family members, you're not just dealing with the business. Now you're dealing with people that can add more stress. So I will do that eventually. But I genuinely could scale very, very far with just me and just my sister.
No, that is inspirational. And I guess I've seen you've been treating your family. It's such a nice thing to be able to do. Mm. And like, do you ever think at 22 you'd be, I suppose, this successful?
No. When I was 19, I was literally a party animal. I like just was drinking literally 3-4 times a week. Didn't really even like have anything else going for me apart from I was at uni. And I like see people that know me, they're like, fucking hell, Casey, what's the crack here? Like if people just meet me, they're like, oh, you're this successful person. You've got 4 businesses. You were able to pay your parents' mortgage. It's like this mad. But see when people meet me now and they know me from a few years ago, they're like, lad, what the fuck happened here? Like, cause you were just partying with me in like a 2-3 day bender, literally like a few years ago. And I don't know how it happened. I do know how it happened so fast. It was because of social media and the opportunities, but I didn't plan yeah. this, but as things happened, I looked to the future and I'm like, right, this could happen. And even as I'm sitting here right now, in the next 2-3 years ago, I know how much more successful I'll be. I know how much more business ventures I'll have. And I know where I'm going and I'm 100% confident on that now that I've built what I have. But a few years ago, I didn't see myself being here so fast. When I first started, I was willing to work for 10, 15 years in order to get to half the position that I'm in now. But it's just happened so fast. So I was like, right, lads, move the goalposts forward a bit, or back or forward, one or the other.
I don't know. And like, what did you always want it? Like, did you want to be a PT or had you got other plans?
I actually didn't know what I wanted to do ever. Like I was always into sports when I was like younger, done boxing and stuff like that. But see, by the time I got to 16, I was like, I'm done with boxing. I'm done with fitness. I just want to drink every weekend. I'll go to tech and I'll do like ICT and then I'll make it to uni and then I'll get an office job. And then I started doing that. And then I was like, fuck, maybe I wouldn't want to get an office job. And I was like, I definitely want to work for myself. So I had all these different ideas going on. And at one stage, it was like, I want to open a healthy fast food place. So like fast food, only it's like healthy. So all these different ideas. But then once I started learning about fitness, and I'd put on a bit of weight since I went through that period of just partying and drinking, and I didn't know how to lose it. But then I found out how to lose it. I found out about the principles and I was like, fuck, this felt really good being able to do it for myself. The only thing that would feel better is doing this for other people. And then I took the social media and I started spreading this message. And at that stage, I wasn't a personal trainer. I just knew that I wanted to help people. So I done that at the start. And then everything was just a natural progression from there. So it was only after I'd been posting on social media already, I was like, right, I'll go get my PT cert and I'll figure it out from there.
Oh, yeah. So you only did it then. Very good. That was the same. Like when I finally felt like I'd cracked it when it came to fitness and health, I was like, oh my God, I realized you can get lean and you don't have to be doing restrictive diets and loads of cardio. I was just, and I think that's why the Instagram kind of blew up in 2015 was that like I was lifting weights when no one else was. And then, and like women were like, how much cardio and abs are you doing? And I was like, none. I'm actually just eating like, according to my macros and lifting and doing lots of deadlifts. But you were talking there about like obviously a lot of success now treating your family, but have you got a conscious plan about like investing back in the business? And I only ask this because me and Darren were kind of talking about this on our podcast. I was like, I should have been a bit more sensible with my money, like, you know, I mean I kind of was, but like at the same time I'm just thinking how you're not flashy, you know, you're not going around with the Gucci backpacks that me and Darren have. And I'm like, is that a conscious effort? Or like, are you investing back in the business? Or like, how are you approaching your newfound wealth?
Yeah. So I've got to a stage where I don't have to worry about money at all. Like, I can, within reason, I can go where I want, do what I want. I don't never have to save money for anything. But at the same time, I don't think that that's a reason just to spend it in loads of shit that I wouldn't otherwise be buying. I bought myself a decent car, paid my parents' mortgage. When I was going to Australia, I was like, fuck it, I'll fly first class. But apart from that, I don't
actually... I saw that. You only put it on your close friends as well. So I was like, you really are, you're trying not to be, you're definitely not trying to be flashy, but you're enjoying your life.
Yeah, well, I actually made a reel about it on social circles, just so I can write that off as a business expense. Like, so.
Very good. That is smart thinking.
Yeah. But in terms of investing back in the business, I'm definitely, when it comes to hiring staff, and I pay my sister a decent chunk of money for the work that she does, but I'm going to be investing the money in property and other business ventures and things like that. The business doesn't actually require lots and lots of money and lots, like, I'll buy things for the business when needed, but the business just requires me to do the shit that I need to do on a daily basis. It doesn't need, and I don't need to pump loads of money into the social circle in order to make it a 7-figure business. I just need to do the shit that I need to do every day. When I get back, I need to do DMs. I need to record more podcasts. I need to create more content, and that will scale to that without having to invest loads into it. But then you find yourself, you've accumulated all this money. It's like, right, logically, what do you do with all this money? I give a lot of money to charity. I think I've given like 50,000 to charity in the past like 4 months. I just think it's a good thing to do when you have this money and you're like, right, I don't really need this. So then you can give back. But then, of course, you want to set yourself up for the future too. So what I'll do is I'll invest in property. I'll buy a few properties. I have a pension. I put money into that. So charity, pension, property, and then family, and then I can whatever I want, I'll probably buy myself another car. And while, like, I bought a Golf R, and it was the best. People are always like, don't spend a load of money in the car, but it's the best money I ever spent. I love driving that car, so
yeah.
I'm not afraid to spend money on myself, but I spend when I need to, not just for the sake of it.
Yeah, no, it's really interesting the way, you know, there's so many opportunities online if you're smart about it, you know. It's kind of concerned, you know. What would you say to someone who's, you know, who's thinking about becoming a doctor? You know, this is kind of the fear that we're aspiring. People are aspiring now, I suppose, to be influencers, and it's like there needs to be some sort of balance in, like, more payment given to doctors or to the staff that we need to, like, run the country well. Sorry, yeah, just going on a tangent
that's an interesting one as well, because at the end of the day, like, a lot of people preach this message of everyone should work for themselves and everyone should be their own boss. But, like, we need doctors, we need nurses, we need people to do normal jobs. But one thing that's interesting is I'm actually living with a fella at the minute that's studying to be a doctor. But he says the doctors literally get paid 5-10 times more in Australia compared to back home. So there needs to be something there that's like, right, doctors get paid what they actually deserve to get paid. But at the end of the day, if speaking from an individual level, that's on a population level. We need doctors, we need nurses. That I'm not going to give, that everyone should do what I'm doing, because the country would collapse. But if I'm speaking to someone on an individual level, I'm like, right, what would you rather do? Would you rather go to uni for however many years, work your way up gradually, and then after 10, 15 years, you might maybe potentially earn 6 figures? Or would you rather earn it after 6 months or a year if you're good at it, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's, as you say, it's population level or individual level. And for every, I'm like, as long as you're doing something that feels like you've got a purpose, that you're, like, feeling challenged, feeling like you're growing, learning, that's the main thing. You know, like, I'd say there's a lot of people who maybe have millions of followers and, you know, they're not getting any satisfaction out of it. Like, even probably even myself in Bali last year, like, I was kind of like, okay, everything's just going really well. I need a challenge. And, you know, that's where I've kind of decided to, like, flip my life upside down. But yeah.
I just got pregnant. It was like, oh, fuck, this is all boring. Like, I'm just going to get pregnant.
I needed a challenge. Yeah, I needed a challenge. And now I'm like, oh, why was I buying all those stupid things when I should have a child on the way? But, like, yeah, that's actually really, like, it's made me kind of be really aware of not how easy it is, but how possible it is when you put the work in. Because I think that's where I've been lacking recently. I kind of have grown and then stopped, like, I'm, you know, and start giving out about the algorithm, when the algorithm is there to be cracked if you're paying attention, putting the work in, and just doing it, like, that's the, and spending your days wisely. Like, my program is probably the same in that it doesn't require much investment. It just requires me showing up and, you know, making videos, sharing my message, showing my authentic self, and then people buy into that and they trust me then with their health and fitness. And
you just need to, you need to look for solutions too. Like oftentimes people will be like, oh, I can't, like with social media, I can't do this. It's all like with anything, just look for solutions. All that, like, see, when anything goes wrong, this can be in a business level or a personal level. Yes, I'll spend a couple of minutes being like, oh, what the, why the fuck's this happened to me? What's going on? But then I'm like, right, what can I do about it? What is complaining about it actually going to do here? And then often I'm like, right, I could do this, I could try this, I could try that. Because that, like, oftentimes people get drawn into the trap of complain, everything's not fair. It's like, get rid of that mindset and constantly look for solutions. And on a business level, on a personal level, everything will start to get better once you start consistently looking for solutions and believing that there is a solution to every problem, because there definitely is.
Sean, you're so young and so wise. Like, it's really inspirational. Like, I cannot wait to see where you are in the next 10 years. And so in terms of your academy and your blueprint, are you taking people on anytime? I know the academy, you only open the doors a certain amount of time, or like where can people go and take your wisdom?
So with the academy, for anyone interested in achieving any sort of fitness goal, it only opens about four times a year. If anyone's in listening before the 8th of May, 2023, isn't it? Yeah, it is. that is the next opening for it, or just keep an eye on my socials. But one thing I said to anyone is you can just go to my social media and consume content for free. You can listen to Social Circle content for free. I actually have a free mini Social Circle course. Everything's there for free. And if you listen to my free content and you're like, fuck, this fella actually knows what he's talking about, then you can buy something off me. But that's, I don't try and like gatekeep information in order to get people to buy things. Obviously, there's certain information with the Social Circle that I'm not going to give out for free, but I do have a lot of free valuable content. And that's the way I've always built my business. Do things for free and expect nothing in return, and then good things will happen to you.
That is the right attitude to have. I'm going to log back into Social Circle now, because I definitely gave up on it last year when I just got lazy. But what you see now this week, I'll be like flat out on my videos. Yeah. Well, I say that now. I need to, saying it to the nation so that, or, you know, mm-hmm. or whoever's listening. But Sean, thank you so much for your time. It's really been inspirational. And we'll hopefully see you back in Ireland some stage. Oh, you've probably got the travel bug now. You'll be in mm-hmm. Bali soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Love you chatting to you. Thanks a million, Sean.
Pleasure.
So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Sean. It's so inspiring seeing someone so young and so wise and being so successful. If you want to sign up to his Social Circle or any of his academies or anything, I'll leave links in the show notes. And just a little reminder that I do have a discount for anyone who listens to the end of the episode for the furnace, and the code is LIFELESSONS. So I'll get you a discount if you do want to sign up to my online coaching. And the other discount I have for you is for Flow State, which are the stunning artistic yoga mats that I have. And they have other products as well. I've got their yoga blocks and their cleaner and a couple other things. They're really, really stunning, gorgeous, sustainable products. And the discount for flowstate.ie is LIFELESSONS30. So thanks again for listening. Really appreciate if you do get to give us a good rating or review. And I'll see you in the next episode.